This is the Frogcast.
Yes, yes, yes. That's all I want to say. That's the only way to start it. Ladies and gentlemen, this long year of putting up with the dorks from Waco is over. TCU beats Baylor 28-21 in double overtime in the coldest, wettest game I have ever sat through. And there is nothing better than watching our young defense get a big stop against the so-called amazing offense of the Baylor Bears. And to see us win, go 10-2, finish this season on a strong point, beating our rival, and seeing it come together like that, there's no better way to have ended the season. So I am here with Trey Fallon and Daniel Southern, two guys that I actually got to meet for the very first time at the game at TCU on Black Friday. So Trey, I want to know, what did it mean for you to just summarize for us? Tell us what it was like for you to beat Baylor.
It was great. It was satisfying. One of the most satisfying wins, I guess, you know, as far as everything that went into it and the buildup and just, you know, it being a rivalry game. You know, it's awesome beating Texas, you know, like we did. It was awesome in the Peach Bowl last year. It was awesome beating Oklahoma, you know, at home last year. Those are all fun, great games. But when you beat a rival like that, that you've had so much, you know, pent-up frustration towards because you know the Frogs were the better team last year and they got, you know, that loss is what kept them out of the playoffs, and you just, you know, just so much built up towards this, and it feels awesome to finally have scoreboard on them. Like, whatever, you know, if they do end up going to the Sugar Bowl, you know, it sucks, but, you know, the Frogs have scoreboard and, you know, it is what it is. I love it. So,
yeah. When your Twitter handle is Baylor sucks ass, I have a feeling that this game meant more to you than probably anybody else in Frog Nation. Daniel, how was it?
It was incredible. I don't know if I've ever been quite as satisfied. You know, I swear that, yeah, I was tired from the game and everything, but I swear these last 2 days I have slept way better just because we put them away, and I don't have to listen to their crap. At least they don't have anything on us, you know, for another year at minimum. And, you know, and just their whole attitude, everything we griped about them last week, you know, and we just, you know, it was a rough game and it was in the rain, but, you know, both teams got rained on, and at the end we, you know, made them, stopped them short and promptly stormed the field. And oh, man, it was absolutely a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yes, it was. As I highlighted last week, this is the first home game that I've been to since the Texas Tech came in 06, and I could not have picked a better game to have flown in for. I mean, I got 90 minutes of sleep that Friday night before I had to get back up and get a 6:15 flight to DFW, but dang it, it was worth it all. It was worth it all for the weather. It was worth it all for the lightning delay. It was worth it all for the double overtime for us to get a victory against Baylor and to just put all of that crap to bed. I mean, it won't stop them from talking. I think we've already kind of determined that. We've all experienced that. But at the end of the day, I mean, I guess if they've taught us one thing, all we have to do is put hashtag 28-21. That doesn't end it, but it does remind them that they lost because they're the lesser team, and they always lose because they go back to Waco. You know, we've talked about the weather, and there's no mistake. It was an awful game. It was awful weather to sit through. It slowed down offenses. It made people fumble. It made running backs slip. Trey, you were there, man. You're a trooper that was there in the game, soaking wet. What was it like to sit through that game? And what do you think what do you think the impact on the game was, knowing that it rained on both of us? But how did the weather impact things, both in the stands and on the field?
Well, yeah, first of all, so, you know, we met up before the game, or right when it was actually supposed to start, and then the lightning delay happened, and then, you know, my season tickets are on that east side, and me and my wife went, so we kind of wandered over to where the student section started, and there's a security guard who really didn't seem like he gave a crap about his job or being there. So I just grabbed my wife and we just walked on by him like we were supposed to be in that section. So we watched pretty much the first three quarters from the student section, and that was really fun since, you know, obviously I hadn't done that in a long time. And obviously being really close to the field was cool too. So that was fun to do. But the rain obviously made it somewhat crappy, but I also think it made it that much more awesome and epic and a lot more memorable. Like, you know, all three of us were there. That's like a game we're pretty much remember for the rest of our lives, because it's going to be like, hell yeah, the Frogs won. But do you remember how cold and damn wet we were, you know, at that game? So it makes it memorable, awesome. You know, the rain definitely did have play a factor. I mean, when you look at the box score, Baylor had, what, like 62 yards passing? Like, when's the last time that ever happened, you know, for them on offense? So, you know, it played into a factor. But like you said, both teams, you know, played in it, and, you know, Baylor can say, yeah, they're in their third string quarterback, or really they can't even use that excuse, because I don't want to hear it, because obviously we can all list the excuses. The injuries that TCU's had this year. So, you know, it is what it is. I think they both went into it. You know, it wasn't as much hype as we were all hoping, you know, two undefeated teams, but it was still a meaningful game. And, yeah, Frogs won, so that's really all that matters.
Yeah, that really is all that matters, is that we got the W. My blue jeans, we're recording on Sunday night, my blue jeans that I wore to that game are still soaking wet. The jacket that I wore to that game is still not completely dry. And I got to hand it to Flash. They were selling those ponchos for $5 a piece, and I bought two of them, and that's the smartest $10 that I've ever spent at Flash. And my gosh, it just never stopped raining. It just never stopped raining, and that impacted people in the stands, and that impacted what was going on the field. I guess one of the things I did want to highlight in terms of both the weather and the day of the game is I could not believe how many students were at that game. I mean, like, I could not believe how many students were at that game. That was freaking amazing. That was amazing to see kids that basically skipped out on Thanksgiving break or some length of it, and then sat there in the 26-degree wind chill getting showered on for 6 hours. I was proud of our students, because we were a bunch of wusses when I was in school, and there they are sucking it up, cheering on the Frogs. I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah, like, it was completely different when I was there, too. It was pretty much, you know, you could walk up anytime and walk down close for most part. You know, maybe an exception was like, I was still in school for that 2006 Tech game, so, you know, I was pretty full there. But yeah, I mean, they were there early too, standing in the rain. And I guess my dad told me afterwards, they were talking about it. They announced that lightning delay and told everybody to seek shelter, but all the students just stayed there.
Yeah, they did. There's a picture of it I put on Twitter. They're just sitting there. Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, like, a few of them initially left. I was on the other side watching, and then I realized they're not moving at all, and they were just like, screw it. Because they, you know, you had to get there really early to get a good seat, so you're not going to give that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. Somebody tweeted that, I mean, if there's 40,000 people there, if lightning hits, it's only going to kill one. So why should that inconvenience the other 39,999?
Yeah, I saw that was funny.
Yeah, I saw that was funny. It's not funny if you're the one that dies, but that was pretty funny. Well, Daniel, I finally got to meet you down on the field, because we're a couple of grown men, and when the game's over, we have to rush onto the field like we're 19-year-olds. I was out of breath by the time I got to the bottom of the steps. There's just something about college football in a moment like that that makes you want to go down on the field. When you think about all the emotion and all that went into that night, what in the world made you run down onto the field as we celebrated that victory and to be there with the team?
It was a culmination of things. You know, it's the last game of the season. We all just stood out there for 4 hours or longer. I was there 2 hours before the game started. And, you know, after everything everyone's been through for the season, you know, the emotions from all the way back to the beginning, the injuries, the mishaps off the field, and then for it all to come down to big bad Baylor comes into town. We all hate him. We, you know, the students were booing them the first time they were on the field. It was just epic. And then, you know, we stuffed them and we just tell them to piss off. It was just unbelievable. So I had to run out there and I was a little late. I kind of got bogged down, so I didn't get down to see as many of the players I wanted to, and just, you know, give them a tap on the shoulder pads and stuff, you know, and be like, great, great year and all that. But that's what it's about. And that's why I have no problem at 31 years old doing that.
Well, I'm the same age Mike Gundy is eternally. I'm 40 years old and I'm a man, and I ran down there and I could care less. I thought that was really cool, man. I wanted to, like you said, pat some of those players on the back, thank every single one of them I saw. It was amazing. I did have a moment of restraint. I saw Tom Luganville interviewing Coach Patterson there in front of the student section. And if I would have been 22 and had enjoyed a tailgate like some of those boys had, I might have run up there, but I was smart enough not to do that. You know, I actually got a couple of comments that were sent into us here tonight from some listeners that on Twitter told us what their experience was. I want to just read a couple of them for you. Emily Pickett writes in and says she was home sick watching the TV, watching the game. She writes, after the first touchdown drive, we bundled up and we drove to the game. We watched from the back of the student section and stayed until the bitter end. I've had no voice for 2 days, but it was totally worth it. I think that's probably a pretty accurate summary of how most Frog fans felt about this game, at least putting up with the weather. Another guy that says he knows you, Trey, Sean McDermott writes in and says, was at the game with my wife the entire time. She's a trooper, and he pulled a Trey Fallon and sat in the student section and said it was his best experience ever. So.
Dude, it was fun down there. I missed that experience. It was a good time.
It was a good time. It was a good time. Well, Trey, we're going to look at what went on inside of the game here. That defense, what can we say about that defense? Things went right. We obviously gave up a couple big plays early. But in the second half, we held Baylor to zero completed passes in the second half. And then when it really mattered in double overtime, Ty Summers, Julius Lewis made a huge stop on fourth down to win this game. Do you see signs that a quote-unquote TCU Gary Patterson defense has returned? And what kind of gives you hope going forward to the bowl game and next year with what you saw from this defense shutting down Baylor?
I mean, yeah, the hope is it looks like they're finally, you know, I guess the term is hunting together as like a defense, just playing together. Summers was great, 23 tackles, which is a record for in the Gary Patterson era, which, you know, I think says a lot considering, you know, some of the great, you know, defensive ends and linebackers that have been through here since he's been here. And yeah, I thought it was great. And actually, you know, the Frogs stuffed them twice because they, you know, Briles took that late timeout, you know, and they had to come back out and stop them again. And it reminded me a little bit of the Oklahoma game last year with that, you know, big stop when the Sooners needed 1 yard. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to take off the purple shades just for a little bit and say, you know, I think the passing game is a whole lot different if it's not raining. And I think it's a whole lot different if Stidham's playing in this game. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I've done that a couple of times already this season, thinking that this defense is taking steps in the right direction and then have seemingly looked, you know, to take a step in the wrong direction. So it does look like they're making progress and taking steps forward, though. And I think with this experience, plus getting players back next year that were injured this year, like Tejada, I think that next year's defense could be really good.
Yeah, it really could be good. When I think about the progression that I thought the defense was going to take through this year, back when before we thought we were going to be running a triage unit, I figured by the time we got to Texas and Kansas State, we would see that defensive unit get then to where I see it is now, which is, like you said, they'd be hunting together. They knew how to play. They knew how to run the entire defense. It just took till the end of the season because we had to keep you know, changing plans about who was going to be in there. And the guy that I think that kind of highlights that the most is Ty Summers. I mean, I broke the Wes Phelan rule, and I said some things that might have not been complimentary about him at the beginning of the season, about slow and not manning up and not moving laterally very well. That dude is a beast. And if you watch that Baylor game, that replay of that Baylor game, I guarantee if you compare that to what it was in the Minnesota game, it's like night and day. And so that and all the other guys that have played on both sides, that have played on that side of the ball, you got to feel good about our defense going forward.
I first took notice of Summers at the Texas game because he body slammed somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, dang. And I was like, I'm going to keep my eye on him because that was the first real just like epic move, I guess, really I'd seen from the defense so far because it had been so crappy basically. But I was like, this kid's going to be good, and sure enough, there he is.
Yeah, the thing I loved about him in the Baylor game was he finally had permission to lead. I mean, he was playing with energy. The energy, they were feeding off of his energy. And man, when he shot a gap, he was wrapping up and driving to the ground. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. So you got to feel good about that. On the other side of the ball, we see that our offense was limited. In fact, we only scored one offensive touchdown in regulation. Josh Caraway picks it up, scoops and scores for the other touchdown. But somewhere in there, Trevon Boykin puts his guts on the line and leads us to a victory. Sad to say, that was Boykin's last game as a Frog and Eamon Carter. Daniel, when you look at that gutty performance from Boykin, what do you see and how do you kind of summarize his life as a Horned Frog, and how did that game kind of serve as a capstone, and what did you see in Boykin Friday night?
Well, it wasn't quite as good as I was hoping. It turned out he wasn't as healed up or whatever as we hoped he might be. I don't remember what they were saying. He was at 80% or something like that. And, you know, when you're already kind of gingerly walking on your ankle, and then you got to go out in that super slick, muddy mess, you're just going to be, especially for his type of game where he's, you know, cutting around everybody. He's not just a pocket passer or something. It's going to cut down a lot of what he's able to do. So it kind of was disappointing, but then got the rain just kind of affecting the passing game. And it wasn't necessarily bad play. It just nothing ever seemed to happen. And same thing for Baylor. You know, it's cold and raining. So it, in a way it's kind of sad. I was hoping he could go out there and light it up, but there's only so much you can do. So it kind of sucks that was his last game. Hopefully in the bowl game, he'll be just fine and, you know, tear whoever we play, tear him a new one. But, what was the other part of the question? Like whole career?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about Boykin's whole career, what's going to be like your biggest memory of what it meant to watch Trevon Boykin at Eamon Carter?
Oh, man. I think my best memories are probably going to come from last year and this year. But, you know, seeing him at wide receiver and everything, it just wasn't that big a deal to me. He's just another wide receiver. We didn't even think he was going to be the starting quarterback last year, remember? So it never really became completely centered around Boykin until started last year and we saw what he could do. And, you know, he had a little bit of Heisman hope last year. And then coming into this year, there was a lot more hype. And he tore it up. It's hard to say, like, what my most memorable moment would be. Probably some of those flips that I wish he didn't take because it scared the crap out of me. Because I didn't know if that was going to be his last play or not.
Yeah.
But it's just an all-encompassing and actually, it's – it kind of sucks to even think about it. It's kind of like, oh, man, he's not here anymore, you know. It's you have someone for so long, and you get used to it in the college game. They come and go. We lost several people this year and last year and so on. But he's been here seemingly forever. And I hate when that happens because you just get so attached and used to what to expect and how they are as off the field and all that. And you don't have to worry about too much. So,
yeah, he's been our quarterback since we got into the Big 12 after – Paha's incident before the Iowa State game. He's basically been our quarterback in the Big 12. And, yeah, we're going to miss him. He's done an amazing job here at TCU. Trey, you got any final thoughts on Boykin as he kind of transitions out his career here at TCU?
I mean, no, y'all nailed it. It's going to be – I'm really going to miss the kid. He's awesome. He's electrifying, does things you don't, you know, see in a lot of football games. Yeah, it's just always scary when you have, you know, we've been fairly lucky going from Dalton, then Paha, and I've said before, I thought Paha could have been really good if he didn't get mixed up in his problems, and then to Boykin. So we've been pretty lucky here lately of this string of quarterbacks, and I'm just hoping the next one, you know, doesn't set us back. And, you know, I mean, I think if Kenny Hill has his head on straight, he could be a really good quarterback in this system, or whoever, you know, wins the job next year. So we'll see. But yeah, it is scary thinking about life without Boykin moving forward. And I don't necessarily know if I have a favorite moment, but I guess one of my favorite games was, 2012 when, I guess that would have been second.
This is freshman year.
Yeah. Against Baylor on the road, beating them. I went to that game and I don't know, it's just a memorable game. And so, yeah, gonna miss the guy. He was awesome. Goes down as a TCU legend in my book.
Yeah, I always hate when people say, you know, he's a really good kid, because what they're really kind of saying is, oh, he hadn't been arrested yet. So, you know, I kind of hate when they throw that cliche around, but everything I've heard from people that are actually around him, they say it and they mean it, that he is a quality human being, that he is team first, that he is has a good head on his shoulders and making good decisions about his life. And that, you know, that's just refreshing to hear in this world of far too many kids that aren't making that decision. So good for him. Good for him. Now, fellas, I just want to rattle off a couple of names here really quick and pass through this. Austin Schlottman, Julius Lewis, Jalen Austin, Jarrison Stewart, Ty Summers. Every one of these guys did serious business in the game on Friday night, saw a lot of the field. All of them except for Austin are freshmen, and he's a sophomore. Austin is playing at center against Andrew Billings, and he did a great job of shutting him down. I mean, like, we did not notice that we lost an all Big 12 center these last 2 weeks, and I can't begin to describe what a significant you know, how big a deal that is. But all of these young guys, like I was describing, I had this friend with me that came down to the game, and every time there was a big play, he'd ask me who that kid was and how many years he had left. And 9 times out of 10, I was like, oh, he's a freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. He's a sophomore. I thought we were going to be a senior-laden team. We had so many young guys making plays, and that just has to make you feel good about going forward. But there's one guy that isn't going to be back for Baylor. He's a senior, and I don't know if he's graduating, but he won't be back on the field. But I want to say this as politely as I can. Is there a more overrated player than Sean Oakman? I don't think so. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you know, I need
time. Hard to find one.
Yeah, I think there was silence because it's hard to find a name that sticks out more than that guy.
Gosh.
Man.
I mean, but the hype and memes. Oh, he's got abs. I know, man.
He's got abs, and he's got that scary picture from the Cotton Bowl. So that's enough. The game's over because he's scary looking.
I mean, I was watching, and Big V just pushed him around. I don't remember Oakman. You know, what's the only thing people are going to remember about Oakman in this game? Oh, he roughed up the punter on a bad snap. Well, you know what, buddy? If you would have tried to block the kick, you could have blocked the kick, and they might have scooped and scored. And we saw that, you know, defensive returns can transition this game. But no, he didn't do that. He's like, I want to get a big hit on the punter. But I can't begin to tell you how unimpressed I was with Sean Oakman. That guy takes plays off like he gets paid for it. I mean, he's like on paid vacation 3/4 of the time out there at defensive end. I mean, Billings is a great player. Make no mistake about it. Sean Oakman is one of the most overrated guys. He reminds me, you guys are too young to remember this. Tony Mandridge that played for Michigan State and then was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, got drafted by the Packers. He was supposed to be this machine. He didn't do anything. But Sean Oakman is overrated. He hasn't done anything. And I'm glad to see him go. The only thing that depresses me is they might get somebody in there that tries hard, and that's going to be a disadvantage for us going forward.
I'd love to see him in the combine, and even if he gets drafted, like, you're just going to get destroyed in the NFL, you worthless spare.
He'll be a workout warrior. He'll put up good stats. Some team will take a flyer on him, and he'll be out of the league in 2 years tops.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to have – I'd actually like to hear Bob Sturm's draft summary of him. You know, get somebody that's not afraid to tell it how it is, but is objective as can be. And he tends to do a pretty good job with that stuff. I'd love to see a really informed summary of Sean Oakman's draft status because – man, everybody's going to talk about his measurables and how great he is, but that sounds like some 4-star kid that Mac Brown recruited that got kicked off the team for not because he had to go to class and hit the weight room. So I am not expecting big things out of Oakland in the NFL.
Yep.
Here and thank everybody that tunes in every week to the Frogcast. You're going to find us on iTunes every week. If you haven't downloaded that yet, go subscribe on iTunes. And if you feel so moved, go leave a review for us. You're going to find us on Stitcher Radio. You'll also find us every week at thefrogcast.com. And we want to thank the guys at killerfrogs.com that every week let us post our link there to the podcast. Got a ton of feedback from people that I met down there that listened to the show. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you guys tuning in every week to listen to this. We've been going at it, I think, like 14 weeks now. So I have really enjoyed doing this, and we appreciate all the listeners that make us come back here every Sunday night and record this. If you go to killerfrogs.com, you will see a thread written by Wes Phelan, who is one of the guys that clearly runs that. And he's got it. The name of a thread is called, hold on, let me preempt this. If you are listening to this podcast with your kids, now's a good time to stop it and wait until you have it in the car alone. There you go. Wes has a thread called Butt Hurt Baylor Fans. And it was just page after page of memes of butthurt Baylor fans and their inability to intellectually and emotionally and cognitively process the fact that Baylor got beat. So I want to take a minute here and let's just go ahead and talk about some Baylor fans, guys. So we've broken down the game and we're X's and O's zeros, but let's just get to the fun part. And that is shutting up this damn fan base that will not stop talking and repeat 6158 like it's the only three words that they teach and the only two things they teach in class there. What's the dumbest thing either of you two have seen or heard online or in person or at the game in the last 48 hours? What have you seen from some of these butthurt Baylor fans?
Well, I've seen a couple on Twitter complaining about Frogs being ranked ahead of Baylor, which is obviously ironic since last year they argued was head to head. So that's great. And then also saw what I think is kind of ridiculous is the calling us classless and all of that based on, I guess, the picture of Nick Orr that was going around Twitter that looks like he was yelling at Briles when if you watch the full video, Nick Orr's, he might be yelling something that's bad. I don't know, but he wasn't yelling at Briles. He's turning, looking the direction that Briles is coming up from behind. So that kind of stuff just, I guess, aggravated me the most. You know, so whatever. They're going to, obviously it's clear they're going to continue to be ridiculous because that's just who they are. But whatever. I can sleep a lot better at night.
I can.
That's for sure.
I saw some people saying, you know, complaining about the rain. Like, oh, well, it's like basically it's their fluke argument. And, you know, really, I just, I wasn't expecting that. I thought you know, after watching football for 4 years now, you'd understand that both teams get rained on. But
watching football for 4 years, that's great. Yeah, I have seen all over Twitter the frustration that TCU was ranked higher than Baylor. That I think somebody described, how can you make an accurate summary of a team just because they played when it rained? And I was like, wow, man. I mean, does that mean the game doesn't count? Does that mean that we shouldn't, you know, throw that out the window? And, of course, the great irony is that they're arguing that just because we beat them doesn't mean we're better than them. And that is... that is a funny argument coming from those guys. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. Did you guys have anybody at the game? I know you snuck down at the student section, Trey. But, Daniel, did you have anybody at the game that was a Baylor fan that was popping off at you there?
Actually, no. I actually even talked with a couple. When they were older than me, so they're, you know, a little more level-headed. They're not this, you know, new money type trash.
Young brand.
Yeah, the young brand. And I did witness a couple people talking just as I was walking through the crowds and stuff, and it, like, someone was like, man, their student body is 85% white and they got rappers down in the end zone. Boo. Like, I'm like, you don't know anything about that. They wrote that song and it went viral and such. We didn't go, hey, we need rappers in the end zone. This is what we need. And just trash like that. They just basically showed up and had this, we're better than everybody attitude. When they would score, they would be like, finally, it's like about time. You know, what's taken so long? We're Baylor. And just annoying crap. And what drove me nuts the most is they dance all the time, nonstop. Whatever it was, I posted about this. They danced if it was commercial break music, if it was music to pump up the defense. Like, they played DMX, I think it was in overtime, to try and get our defense pumped up to stop their attempt at a touchdown, and they're just kind of doing their dance like you always see in those GIFs, that just that goofy, uncoordinated, no idea what they're doing, and they danced every time there was music playing. It was weird.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. You know, I guess the one of the takeaways about kind of that the TCU Baylor rivalry, non-rivalry, you know, if you're a drunk 20-year-old and running onto the field, I'm not surprised that you go and talk trash to Coach Briles. I wish they wouldn't do that. I mean, I guess the best way to say it is I wish it wouldn't caught on television, because that was not the sharpest thing. But, I mean, this whole thing has had so much gasoline poured on it that, honestly, I'm surprised that's kind of all that happened. Yeah, like you said, Trey, Nick Orr is not talking trash to Art Briles. He does. If you watch that video, he doesn't even realize he's there until that state trooper starts pushing him around. I didn't appreciate that a whole lot either.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you know, if you're you know, drunk 20-year-olds run onto the field, of course they do. They ran onto the field last year when Baylor beat TCU, and I'm sure all they did was go up and tell everybody good job. I'm sure it was just nothing but congratulatory. I love the picture that floats around from James Lewis of the student giving this TCU section the double bird last year from the field when that game ended. So they're classy and we're classless. So that kind of bugged me that there some of that crap went on. But honestly, I'm just surprised it didn't get worse. I'm surprised they didn't have some nasty stuff going on. So yeah,
well, they're gonna perpetuate that. You know, we're classless. We went out there to. And I'm sure they're going to escalate the story that Nick Orr had a machine gun or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, if I would have come across Briles within earshot, I would have said something. God, so much I hate that guy.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty there.
I don't care. I mean, what are they going to do? We're already on the field. You used to get maced if you jumped on the field.
Yes, I was at that game.
Yeah, and, I mean, and Briles is, you know, yelling back, so...
Yeah.
If anything, retaliate for him, you know, saying F you to whoever that was, you know.
Well, whoever that kid was is going to have a great story to tell for several years that he was both at that game and he got F-bombed by Art Briles. I think that's kind of a badge of honor, though. Well, guys, we're going to close here in just a second, but I want to give you both an opportunity. Is there anything else from the events of Friday night and maybe the whole year leading up to it that you just kind of want to vent or get off your chest or celebrate before we move to wrap up?
Well, personally, I feel like it's a weird year as far as, I guess, feelings go about, was it successful? Is it not successful? You know, you go in with such high expectations of college football playoff Final Four or bust, you know, Boykin has a chance at Heisman. And then, you know, those things get derailed. But you still come out of the season with 10 wins. You beat Baylor. You beat Texas. You beat Texas Tech. You beat SMU. So, you know, you take care of business against, you know, all of those teams. So, you know, I always see that as a success, but then it's like the two losses, that sucks because we didn't live up to our expectations, but I guess there's excuses that we didn't. So it's like a confusing year, you know, all around. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it still is a success, even though it's not. So it was, I mean, I guess you have to say it was a good season. I mean, I guess it's also me being a little bit spoiled that I'm kind of disappointed in a 10-win season that the program has come that far that it's like, oh, we didn't go undefeated. So don't want to take it for granted. But, yeah, it's crazy. It went by fast like it always does. It
feels like we're LSU or something. You know, we didn't win at all, so let's fire everybody and start over. So
no firings. They're stupid. I can't believe they even thought about firing Les. But
they've been chugging too many hurricanes down at Pat O'Brien's if they want to fire Les Miles.
I agree. It's like a mixed feelings. You know, it in a lot of ways it was successful, in a lot of ways it wasn't, because you know we're so let down from all the injuries and it just. Weird crap everywhere, but at the same time we were able to overcome all of that and get 10 wins, including beating Baylor, who is just one of the best teams. And if you think about it, in a lot of ways, you know, we were really just one play or two away from beating Oklahoma. But on the flip side, we could have lost a couple more based on like the Texas Tech at the end of that. And so it's like it's so much is good, but so much is bad. It's almost like I'm kind of lukewarm about it. You know, I'm just kind of like, all right, let's see what kind of bowl we get. Let's look forward to next year because, you know, there's a lot of what could have been, but it's just a strange – it's not like last year, you know, it sucked that we got kicked out, but then we go and destroy in the Peach Bowl, and it was like, hell yeah, man. But this year I just don't really know how to feel.
Yeah, I think there's a variety of places that fans come down to summarize this season. I mean, it's easy to say that we were one play away from being considered for the playoff. I mean, if we make the two-point conversion against Oklahoma, we're 11-1 and possibly being right up there to fight for that for a spot in the playoff. And everything, literally everything that we needed to break our way after Oklahoma State did. I mean, Baylor lost, Oklahoma State lost to Baylor, they lost to Oklahoma, Stanford beats Notre Dame. All that stuff that we needed broke our way. We just couldn't get the two-point conversion against Oklahoma. But like you said, Daniel, I mean, it's easy to say we're just a couple plays away from being 7-1, but I mean, we're a couple plays away from being 7-5. If you just think about Kansas State, if you think about Baylor, if you think about obviously the Texas Tech game. I mean, and then you throw in the Oklahoma games. I mean, we're really close to being 7-5 to a matter of inches in all of those games. And to think that we got so many of those to go our way, and the only game that we did not play well in is Oklahoma State, and there was just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And to think that this team with so many injuries and so little depth was able to get as far as they could, and that we were able to beat Baylor with a 60-70% quarterback who is you know made his chops on being a mobile quarterback and had all of that mobility taken away. It is just something to appreciate. So I guess that's my word to the Frog Nation is just be grateful for what this was, which is a 10-win season when it very, you know, no other team in the country was going to be able to do this. But at the same time, I'm like you, Trey. I'm like, dang it, you know, it's a 10-2 season. I want to win 11 games. I want to win 12 games. I wanted all of those preseason expectations to be there. I guess the only thing I can take away from that is they weren't wrong. You know, they weren't wrongly placed. If we're 10-2 with all of these injuries, we're gonna be, you know, 11-1 and 12-0 with if everybody had stayed as healthy as they had been. I mean, yeah, we could talk all day about Tyson Nina and Deontay Gray and Emmanuel Porter and Josh Doctson. I mean, those are four all-conference wide receivers that are standing on the sidelines injured and on top of our defense. But, oh, well, it's just what it is, as much as I hate that cliche. And it's 10-2. And if it's going to be 10-2, I'd rather lose to the teams that we're competitive with, but I don't hate. Nobody hates Oklahoma. Nobody hates Oklahoma State. And to be able to beat Texas and to beat Tech and to beat Baylor – those are fans we run into all the time, and it's nice to remind those people that we beat you, and it's because you suck, and that we're going to beat you next year. So just get used to it. So that's what I got to summarize how I feel with this season coming to an end. Well, next week, guys, we are going to have a season recap. We will know where we're going for our bowl game, so we'll talk a little bit about that to the best of our knowledge. We'll probably hand out some awards. We will talk about some of that this week and be able to hand out some awards of what went right and some things that we're projecting forward into the next season for 2016. But I just want to say, as we kind of come to the end of the regular season, if you're listening to this, on behalf of the three of us, I guess I just really want to thank you. We threw this together a couple weeks before the season started. Like we've joked about, none of us had met anybody until we did on Friday night. And we've been able to make this work and to show up every Sunday night at 8:30 to record this in order to have it for you on Monday morning. I'm glad you enjoy it because we enjoy doing it. And we have a hell of a lot of fun, and we hope you enjoy having some content about TCU to be able to listen to that. So for Daniel Southern and for Trey Fallon, I am Jeff Mitchell. And two things I want to remind you. This is the Frogcast, and we beat Baylor. Take care.